Good morning.
Good morning.
Today we again follow the order of service in the bulletin. Our opening hymn this morning is Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, hymn 338. Stand. We bow our heads in prayer. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come into your presence to seek your mercy, to hear your word, and to offer up our prayers and praises. Hear us for the sake of the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his atoning sacrifice on the cross for our sins. Amen. We read together Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried to thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thy ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Let us therefore confess our sins unto the Lord, and look to him for mercy and forgiveness in the plenteous redemption of Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us from all our iniquities. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in our thoughts, desires, words, and deeds. We therefore flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the sake of Jesus' holy life and his atoning sacrifice on the cross, I announce unto you the grace and mercy of God, and in the name and stead of Jesus Christ our Savior, proclaim to you forgiveness for all your sins through faith in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We continue by singing Savior of the Nations, Come, hymn 332. We sing verses 1 through 4 and verse 8. Thank you.
Spirit of your God was the Word of God made flesh, woman's offspring pure and fresh. Here a maid was found with child, yet remained a virgin wild. In her womb this truth was shown, God was there upon his throne. Then stepped forth the Lord of all from his pure and kingly hall, God of God, yet fully man, his heroic course began. Glory to the Father, sing. Glory to the Son, our King. Glory to the Spirit be, now and through eternity.
The Word of God, which we consider today, is recorded in St. Luke's Gospel in chapter 1, beginning at the 26th verse. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered in her mind what manner of greeting this should be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give to him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary to the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing who shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it to me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and greeted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she spoke with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed that there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts.
He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. You may be seated. We bow our heads in a word of prayer. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, again we pray for your Holy Spirit's guidance and blessing upon the speaking and the hearing of your word this day, that we might be strengthened in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might hold fast to him in faith and trust in him for mercy and forgiveness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The word of God which we consider today is the Annunciation text, this time when we have the Annunciation to Zacharias of the birth, coming birth of John the Baptist, but this is the Annunciation or the announcement of the angel Gabriel to Mary concerning the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ and what would take place. We remember in the Old Testament, there was the word of the Lord spoken in the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve had fallen into sin, that the seed of the woman would bruise or crush the head of the serpent, and that the serpent would bruise his heel. And throughout the scriptures, the promise was repeated in a variety of ways. We see that it was through Abraham and through his seed that all the nations of the earth would be blessed. To David was promised that one would come who would reign on his throne forever. And so the promise of the coming Messiah was repeated throughout the scriptures. And then we come after, again, as I said last time, a period of 400 years of silence. The announcement of the birth of John the Baptist to Zacharias in the temple. A short time later, we read that it was in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Remember when Nathanael said, "What good thing can come out of Nazareth?" Nazareth was not looked at as a city which would bring about the birth of the Messiah. And yet it is prophesied in Isaiah 52 and 53 that the Messiah would come as a root out of dry ground. In other words, where you would not expect there to be the root, there it would begin to grow, this one who would redeem God's people. And so the angel Gabriel, remember Gabriel is the angel who stands in the presence of God, is sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, a spouse to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. We often don't understand what it means to be espoused. Back in the days of the Bible, people may have been somewhat wiser in marriage, in that instead of entrusting the decision on marriage to two young people who really don't know a lot about life yet, marriage was often determined by parents and family and was prearranged. And so it could even happen, you know, that two families that are friends, both are expecting, and one has a boy and one has a girl, at, a very young age, they arrange that, their son is going to marry their friend's daughter. And then later in life, they are espoused, which really means they are made husband and wife. They speak the vows, the promise to be husband and wife and faithful to each other until death separates them. And then usually about a year later, the groom would come and take his wife. He would prepare and then come and take his wife to his home where there was a marriage celebration that often lasted 4 days for a week. And at that point, the marriage was consummated. And so Mary is a virgin. She is espoused to Joseph, means they're engaged, but a lot more than engaged as we think of it today, which is so easily broken off. Because to break, as if you read in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and following, if Joseph wanted to break off this engagement because he found some uncleanness in his wife, he had to divorce her, even though they had not yet consummated the marriage, and Mary was a virgin. And so it was regarded as binding, as a marriage. And so she's espoused, she's the wife of Joseph, but they'd not yet come together, she's a virgin. Joseph was of the house of David, and you can read in the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, the lineage of David going, or lineage of Joseph going all the way back to David through Solomon, and even going back, I believe, to Abraham. Mary was also of the house or lineage of David, but she was not a descendant of Solomon, but she was a descendant of David's son, Nathan. And so, again, through the house of David, but through a different line. And in fact, if you read in Old Testament history, you see that Coniah, King Coniah or Jeconiah, was told that he would never have a son to reign on the throne because of his initial wickedness during his reign. Well, Jesus is technically not the son of Coniah, but he is the son of David through a different line, through Nathan. And so Mary's of the house of David, as is Joseph, but through different lines of David. And the angel came to her and said, "Hail, Mary," or, it's hail is a form of greeting. "Thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." Contrary to the Roman Church, which likes to use these words in the rosary as though Mary was somehow holy and more deserving than any other woman in the time when Jesus was born, what this says is that she is received God's grace, his mercy. God was showing great mercy in choosing her. And it's according to God's grace that she was chosen, because she, even though she appears to be a rather outstanding young lady, is still a sinful human being, as are all people. And so the angel greets her and says that she is highly favored of God. God has shown his grace and mercy, his favor upon her. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. In other words, she was extremely blessed because God had chosen her to be the mother of this promised Messiah and Savior. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered in her mind what manner of greeting this should be, as I think any of us would be. And here we have a young girl thought to, maybe be in her early teens, to suddenly have an angel appear to her. And the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary." You know, don't be afraid, for you have found favor with God. God has shown grace and mercy to you. Her choosing was not of her own merit, but it was of God's grace and favor shown to her. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus comes from the Greek Jesus, which is how the Hebrew name Yeshua, or we translate that as Joshua, which means that Jehovah, or the Lord God, saves, or is the Savior. In fact, the name was a very common name. That's probably why Jesus was identified as Jesus or Yeshua of Nazareth, because there would have been Yeshuas probably from other cities, like, you know, maybe Bethany or maybe Capernaum or other cities, because Jewish parents like to name their children after prominent Old Testament figures, prophets, and leaders like Joshua. But he was to be named Jesus or Yeshua for a very special reason, because he is Jehovah God in the flesh, come into this world to be our Savior. In fact, the very name Yeshua comes from the Old Testament at the time of Moses, because Moses' servant was a young man by the name of Hoshea, which means saves, or one who saves. And Moses changed his name to Yehoshea, Jehovah saves, because it is Jehovah who saves. And Joshua, you know, Moses is the giver of the law, and Moses, as well as the people, were not allowed to cross into the land of Canaan. This certainly shows us the role of the law. The law can only take us so far. It shows us our sins. It shows us our failures. It shows us the judgment of God. But we need a Savior. We need Jehovah himself to come and save us and lead us into the land of promise. And Yehoshea, or Joshua, in some ways prefigures that, because Jehovah saves. He is the one who brings us into the land of promise, where Moses, even Moses, because of his own sin, could not enter the land of promise. And so the law of God can only lead us so far. It can teach us much about God, but it reveals our sins, our failures, and the judgment of God. But then we need the gospel. We need to know that God has sent his Son into the world to provide for our salvation. And so Mary is to name her son Jesus, or Yehoshea, Joshua. It says, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give to him the throne of his father David. If you think about this passage, who is Jesus? Mary is his mother. He is true man. But who is his father? It is God himself. Jesus is God in the flesh. As we read in John chapter 1, you know, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, that all things were made by him, nothing was made without him. And it says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so Jesus is Jehovah God in the flesh. There are many passages in the Old Testament that come to mind, but certainly the passages in Isaiah, in chapter 7 and chapter 9, which we often hear during this time as we prepare to celebrate Christmas, speak of who Jesus is. And I don't know how many of you have entertained Jehovah's Witnesses at your door, but one of the things that I like to point out to them, because Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jehovah is the Father only, and that Jesus is a Son of God, not the only begotten Son of God. He's not eternal. They fall kind of into the Arian heresy, and they believe that the Holy Spirit is just God's active force, not a person of the Trinity. And so one of the things that they often try to bring up to Christians is that you won't find the word Trinity anywhere in the Bible. However, what does triune or Trinity come from? Well, triune is 3-1, and it simply means that God is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and yet only one God. But they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God or God himself. He is just a Son of God. So I like to point out to him that, you know, the Old Testament very clearly teaches that Jesus is the Son of God. And one of the passages that certainly relate to what we're talking about today is in Isaiah 7, verse 14, where it says that the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean? As we read in Matthew chapter 1, Emmanuel being translated means God with us. And so the very name that Jesus would be called Emmanuel means that he is God with us in human flesh. Especially at this time of year, we often hear the words of Isaiah chapter 9, beginning at verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from hereafter even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And of course, there are many other passages in the Old Testament which very clearly use the name Jehovah or Yahweh in reference to the Son. And so the Bible very clearly teaches that Jesus is the Son of the Highest. As you know, we read here, he's the Mighty Father, the Everlasting Father, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. And yet he is this child born to us. And of course, as it is prophesied of David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, that he would never lack a son to sit upon his throne, so Jesus is that son who reigns forever upon the throne of David. As it says, he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary to the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And I think there's a little bit of a difference here between Mary's question and Zacharias' question. Zacharias basically objects and says, you know, I'm an old man and Elizabeth is an old woman, you know, how can I know this is going to really happen? I really, you know, this is just impossible. Mary doesn't really ask that, but she kind of asks the details. Well, you know, how are you going to do this since, as she said, I know not a man. I've not had any sexual relationships with a man. How am I going to conceive and bear a child? Because, you know, it's not the normal thing for a young virgin to suddenly become pregnant and have a child without any kind of sexual contact with a man. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Which is why we say in the Apostles' Creed that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born to thee, or born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. We might wonder why in the King James it says holy thing. It's because A child in Greek is in the neuter tense, which we don't normally think of it that way in English. And so it's a right translation, but a little bit hard for us to grasp because we don't normally think of a child as a thing. It's, you know, a he or a she. And so the explanation is the Holy Spirit's going to cause you to conceive. The power of the highest is going to overshadow you. And for that reason, this holy child who would be born to her would be called, how much clearer can you get? The Son of God. And so Mary truly is Theotokos, the Mother of God. Not in the sense that this has been abused to say, but in the sense that she actually gave birth to God in the flesh. And the angel says, and behold, or look, your cousin Elizabeth, and we don't know exactly how she was related, but she was related, had within the family somehow, she was connected to Elizabeth of the tribe of Levi in Judea, that she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. No word that God says will fail. Nothing that he promises is impossible for him to fulfill. From a human standpoint, it looked impossible to Zacharias that his wife Elizabeth would conceive and bear a son. It looked impossible to Abraham and Sarah that Sarah would conceive and have a son. It looked impossible to Mary. How can I have a child when I've not known a man? Humanly, impossible. But with God, all things are possible. He always fulfills his word. It's kind of interesting when you read this in the Greek that the word that is used, I'm trying to remember exactly the word, and I don't have the Greek here in front of me, is rhema or rhemata, which is speaks of the word. And so it's not just saying that, you know, God can do anything, even though God can, but it's what it's really indicating is that anything that God promises, he can do. And nothing that he promises is impossible for him to complete. Notice what Mary said. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. She regarded herself as a slave or servant of the Lord. Whatever the Lord says, you know, I submit to that. I am willing to do whatever the Lord asks of me. Be it to me according to thy word, which is saying, you know, I'm willing to be, to serve as you have asked me to serve. Be it to me according to your word. It's kind of surprising that the Roman Catholic Church has argued over this, be it to me according to thy word, comparing it to God in Genesis saying, let there be light, and there was light, that they argue that Mary, by saying, be it to me, is somehow her power to make this happen. By her simply saying the word, this is taking place, and so they even speak of her as a co-redemptress, that by her word, she became the Mother of God, and by her word, these things were fulfilled so that she shares in the redeeming work of our Lord Jesus. Well, she does share in the redeeming work of our Lord Jesus, but like in the same way as you and I do. She trusted in her Son as the Son of God and her Savior from sin. Not as the Roman Catholic Church teaches that she was without sin and she helped bring all these things to pass, to provide for her son to come into the world. We also read that Mary rose in those days and went to the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, entered into the house of Zacharias, greeted Elizabeth. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. You know, John the Baptist was to be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with a loud voice, saying, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." And so she spoke of the blessing of the Lord upon Mary. Not that Mary is able to, you know, produce the blessing, but that God has blessed her. God has been gracious to her. "And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And so she counted it a privilege that the one chosen of God to be the very mother of Jesus came to him. And she said, "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." And so Mary responded to the angel's message in faith. Zacharias responded in questions and doubts, unbelief. So a big difference brought about there. But yet, it is of grace that Mary was chosen. It is of grace that she believed the promise of the Lord. I think one thing that we can learn from Mary's response to the message of the angel is that when God calls us to serve him in some way, and even though we may not realize it, God always has some call, some work that he would desire us to do, to respond like Mary and say, you know, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, or the servant of the Lord," to be willing to do whatever God asks us to do, because God has a grand plan of salvation of lost sinners. And God is, you know, not only did he reach down by sending his son to die for us, that was, you know, the big part of our salvation, the pivotal part, the cornerstone. But God desires to use each and every one of us in order to advance his kingdom in some way. And it may be a small thing, it may be, you know, something we consider to be a big thing. But whatever God calls us to do, our response should be like Mary. You know, "Behold the handmaid," or, you know, the servant of the Lord. Whatever God calls us to do, you know, "Be it unto me according to your word." Whatever you desire me to do, Lord, that is what I want to do, because I want to serve you. I want to live for you, because you have sent your son to redeem me. Finally, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, we will sing a song based on the Magnificat. But I just want you to notice, and what I always come away from this is, here you have a young, probably a teenage girl. And I think of catechism classes. I think of myself when I was a teenager. I think of people I talk to today. How many people have this kind of spiritual insight? It shows that Mary had heard and understood the scriptures. She spoke the Magnificat. I would like to read to you from 1 Samuel chapter 2. This is after Hannah prayed for a child. She had been barren, and God gave her Samuel. Of course, he gave her other children as well, blessed her even more than she asked. But listen to Hannah's prayer, and then I'll read Mary's Magnificat. "And Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn, which is my strength, my power, is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies, and because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is no one beside you, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren has borne seven, and she that has many children is waxed or grown feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. And then listen to Mary's Magnificat. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation," which is very similar to Psalm 103. "For he has shown strength with his arm, he has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And then we read that Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house, which, when you put this all together, is about the time that Joseph discovers that his espoused wife is 3 months pregnant, and when she comes back and the angel comes to him in a dream to tell him not to be afraid to take Mary, his wife, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. It's not through unfaithfulness. So there's so much to learn from Mary's example, but certainly God was gracious to her. Not deserved, but God chooses the lowly. God chooses the weak, and God brings down those who are lofty and trust in themselves. And so we should learn to humble ourselves before the Lord and submit to his divine will. We close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for graciously choosing Mary to be the mother of our Lord Jesus, for giving her the faith to believe that it would be as you have promised, and then for fulfilling your word, even though it seems impossible to man, and many people even today still deny the virgin birth, but for fulfilling your word and sending your son into the world, true God and true man, that he might take our place under the law and fulfill it in our stead, and then suffer and die and pay the price for our sins. And we know that you have accepted his sacrifice because you raised him from the dead. And through faith in him, you give us pardon and forgiveness. You give us everlasting life. We pray that you would keep us in the true faith and that you would make us humble servants, willing to do whatever it is that you ask us to do for the furtherance of your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue our worship by bringing forward our offerings.
I ask you to please stand and join me in prayer. Merciful Father, for the sake of the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, forgive us for failing to walk by faith in the promises of your word. Move us to read and study our Bibles regularly and to come before you with our petitions and praises. Keep us from being overcome by our sinful inclinations, and preserve us in the true and saving faith unto life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. O Christ Jesus, eternal Son of God and our Savior, you gave your life for ours when you died on the cross and made atonement for our sins. Bless the work of our pastor and congregation, and of faithful pastors, missionaries, and congregations everywhere, so that your life-giving word might be proclaimed among us and among the peoples of the world, and those who hear might repent of their sins and look to you and your cross for pardon and forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy. O Holy Spirit, do not forsake us because of our weakness and disobedience to your word. Be patient with us and move us to continually repent of our sins and look in faith to our Savior for mercy. Teach us from your word, strengthen and keep us in the true and saving faith. Lord, in your mercy. O loving and merciful God, our nation and people are living in darkness and are under your wrath and judgment. Open the eyes and ears of our people and rulers that they might see and hear the truth of your word, repent of the evil of their evil deeds, and fall down at the feet of Jesus, pleading for pardon and forgiveness, and then seeking to walk in your ways, that your judgment may be turned away and your eternal wrath against us be averted. Lord, in your mercy. O healer and preserver of our bodies and souls, as you have promised, we ask you to provide for all our needs and to preserve us from all harm and danger and all evil. We lift up to you those among us who are afflicted. We remember, especially today, Linda, Joyce, Carl, Richard, Harley, Donna, and all others we name in our hearts. Have mercy upon us, grant healing to the sick, comfort to the oppressed, and strength for all to endure the troubles and afflictions of this life in the hope of everlasting glory, for the sake of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. We join in the prayer that our Lord Jesus has taught us. It is printed out in the back inside cover of your hymnal. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I read to you the words of Jesus' institution of the Lord's Supper, which are recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I have received from the Lord that which also I deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Again, I invite you to come forward. Lord bless you and keep you in his baptismal grace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. The Lord bless you and keep you in his baptismal grace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Now may this holy body and precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you for Jesus' sake. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, we thank you for fulfilling all righteousness in our stead, and then taking upon yourself the guilt and punishment for all our sins, and making full atonement for us by your perfect sacrifice on the cross. And we thank and praise you for giving us to partake of your one holy sacrifice, that we might also partake of the blessings you won for us by your death, and have made sure to us by your glorious resurrection. Strengthen and keep us in the true and saving faith, and move us to live our lives for you while we await your glorious return and the joys of your everlasting kingdom. Amen. Receive now the benediction of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious to thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. We close by singing hymn 933, My Soul Rejoices.
Again, a welcome to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The only announcement today is we have a meeting following our service. Anybody else have any announcements this morning? If not, I'll go ahead and close this out, and God's richest blessing to you throughout the week. Thank you.